page 543 in the church Bibles on your table. So Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and he terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
So it's a great pleasure to be here with you today. Really happy. I love church planting. I love to see what is happening here. And my prayer is that next week, God bless you by sending those who are lost. Let me get started by asking you a question. Do we live in a country where people experience freedom? Are people here in the UK free? If I ask this question to someone outside, they would say, of course, we are in England, the United Kingdom. The reason why you guys are worshiping God is because of the freedom of religion we have here. You don't face persecution. You are free to worship your God. Others would say, of course we are in a free country. We are free here. We've got the freedom of the press. The media can say whatever they want. They can point out the wrongdoings of the politicians without facing censorship. Others would say, of course you've got freedom. You've got freedom of speech. You can share your thoughts without fearing a prison. So of course we live in a country that values freedom. However, not many of those who live here are free, right? We've just seen a video of an organization called Christians Against Poverty. Do you know why they exist? Because there are many people here, slaves of debts. Just here in the UK, there are 8 million people in debt. One fifth of them can't pay at all what they own. We live in a country that has got people addicted to pornography. There are millions, 1.2 million of people addicted to pornography. There are people who are slaves of their crimes. Here's the number of those in prisons today. 85,375 people are slaves of crime. There are slaves of drug. Do you know that the UK lead the number of people who die every year due to the drug abuse? 3,450 people die every year here in the UK addicted because of their addictions. And you would see, you would think, oh, Alex, okay, I'm not that bad. I'm not a criminal. I don't own anyone. I'm a good person. But here's the worst thing. Do you know that in the UK, people work overtime, 10 hours per week, and a lot of them don't even get paid for the hours they are spending at work. People addicted to their jobs. We live in a free country, but full of slaves. And I'm going to stop here. I've got a bigger list, but I'm going to stop here because I think I've made my point. And I want to look at the text of today. And here's my conclusion. Many people are not free at all. And here's the reason, and here's the big idea I want you to keep in your mind, okay? True freedom is to do whatever you want without regretting the consequence of your choices. You can do whatever you want, but you can't regret the choices that you've made. If you regret, you're not free at all. You're simply a slave of your passions. That's the big idea I want you to keep in your mind. The other thing I want you to keep in your mind is that we need to understand why people are not free. And next week, it's your public launch. Get ready for it, okay? Get ready for it. We are in a country full of slaves of their passions. People who don't get it, okay? So here's why. We need to understand that we have a spiritual problem, okay? All of us, Christians and non-Christians. We have a spiritual problem that causes us to face a spiritual consequence that requires a spiritual solution. So, what is this problem, Alex? What is this consequence? What is this solution? And that's my plan for us today. I want to answer these three questions here today by looking at Psalm 2, the Psalm that Zen has just read for us. What is my hope? My hope is that by the end of it, you would be able to use your freedom. I want you to be free. I want you to use this freedom we have here, but without regretting your choice. I want you to use your freedom for the good, for the glory of God. So let's start by looking at the problem. We've got a problem. And here, we can see what the problem is when we read Psalm 2. The problem is sin. Let me read again from verse 1 to verse 4. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with vain plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Verse 3. Let us break their chains, they cry, and be free. Free ourselves from slavery from God to God. Verse 4. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Let's stop here. Who is writing this psalm? According to Acts chapter 4, verse 25, David is the author of this psalm. Who is David? David was God's chosen king in Israel. The one chosen to rule Israel, to rule God's people, to rule God's land. Why did he write it? Well, it's quite clear, isn't it? To show his indignation towards the nations surrounded. To show his indignation towards those who rule the nations surround Israel during that time. But there is something very interesting here. In verse 4, it seems that God is not so upset with them. It's not upset with these nations surrounded Israel. How do we know that? Well, it says that he laughs. He finds it funny. He finds it funny that people are rebelling against God. And why does God find it funny? I wouldn't find it funny. Well, the answer is in verse 4. It says that, but the one who rules in heaven, he is the one who laughs. And what does he mean by that? Well, he's saying that God is not like us. Let me repeat it. He is saying that God is not like us. He rules from heaven. He is the creator, not the creation. He is the one who made us. The one who made us into his image. And here's the thing. We were made in God's image for a purpose, to reflect him, to reflect his character. And every single time we don't do it,
God laughs. God finds it funny because to be free from God is to ignore our purpose. And that's why they are rebelling against God. They want to be free from God. They say, we don't want you. We don't need you. But in reality, we were made to reflect God. We need Him. How can you reflect without Him? So God laughs. Let me give an illustration just to give an idea how funny that is. Steve Jobs is the intelligent design behind iPhone, right? Let's say one day the phone wakes up and says, you know what, Steve Jobs, we want to be free from you. We don't want to be phones anymore. We want to be coffee machines. That's what we want to be. What would you say Steve Jobs would do? I think he would laugh at them. What are you talking about? You can't be a coffee machine. I made you for a purpose. To be a coffee machine is to do something that you're not meant to do. We live in a world where people are not different. They are constantly trying to be free from God. This is what we call sin. Sin in the New Testament means to miss the target, to do something that God didn't want you to do, something that you were not meant to do. This is sin, to do what you want without taking into account what God wants. It's to forget the purpose of your existence. It is to do what we were not meant to do. And true freedom is to do what pleases God in order to experience true satisfaction. Do you understand that? When we do not do what we were meant to do, we don't feel happy at all, satisfied. Because to be satisfied, you need to do what you were meant to do. Lesson for us. It is foolishness to believe that freedom is to do what you want by ignoring the one who made us and made us for a purpose. Question: are you using your freedom to please yourself before pleasing God? What are the things you do that makes God laugh at you? Dave doesn't stop here. He carries on, and that's my second point. What is the consequence, Alex? Well, the consequence is death. From verse 5, Dave says, then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Only ask and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. Verse 9, you will break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Let's stop here. So David says that God finds funny when we rebel against Him, when we try to be free from Him. But here we can see that God gets angry as well when we do that, especially when we rebel against His anointed one. In this case here, David was His chosen one, the one anointed by God. And the nations are rebelling against David, and God is getting upset. God is getting angry with it. And in verse 5, He says, then in anger He rebukes them. And in verse 9, He says, you will break them with an iron rod. Why does God get so angry here? For two reasons. Reason number one, David represents God on earth here. Therefore, to rebel against the one chosen by Him is to rebel against God. Number two, to rebel against God is to rebel against the source of life. God made us, but He also gave us life. And that's why God is so angry here. How can you be so foolish? That is stupid. How can you desire to be away from me if I am the source of life? Don't you get it? By being far away from me, you are choosing to die. I am the one who gives the life and I'm the one who sustains it. How can you desire to be free from me? That's the consequence of our freedom from God, is death. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23. So we need to understand that. The problem is sin, but there is a wage for it. And the wage of sin is death. But for many people, it's hard to understand it, isn't it? Let me tell you a story, it's not real by the way, of a driver who, after drinking a lot, he decided to go home by driving his car. And he was so drunk that he crashed his car into a wall. And his car began to get on fire. Someone who saw it rescued him, saved him, and said to this driver, "I can see you drunk. Don't you know that you should not be driving and drink? Don't you know that to drink and to drive don't go together?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Thank you very much for saving me. And I won't do that again. I won't do that again." I said, "Great, I'm happy to hear that." Few days later, guess what happened, John? He decided to go to a pub, get drunk again, and drive his car. And he crashed his car again. But this time, he killed a police officer who was working on the street. He was caught. And on the day of his judgment, guess who was the judge? The same man who saved him once. The same man who gave the advice, "Don't drink and drive anymore." And he thought, "Wow, he saved me once. He's going to save me again." And he said, "Judge, do you remember me? I am the man you saved in a similar accident. Would you save me again?" And the judge said, "That day, I was your savior. Today, I am the judge. And you're going to prison, my friend. And you are going to prison." Unfortunately, this man ignored the advice and rebelled against God's law, against the law. In a spiritual way, to ignore and rebel against God is to disobey Him, His law. It's to be disconnected from Him that results in death. Because He is the source of life. So, lesson for us, it is foolishness to believe that freedom should do what we want by running away from God, the one who gives and sustains our lives. And here's the question for us. What are the things you are still doing that makes God angry? You need to think carefully about that, because God is just, He's holy. He gets angry when we sin. He gets angry when we rebel against Him. Third and last, the solution. What is the solution, Alex? Well, the solution is Jesus. Let's read from verse 10. Here's what it says in my version. "Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal son, or he will become angry. Let's stop here for a while. Okay, so from verse 1 to verse 4, David is pointing the problem we all have. Sin, the rebellion against God, the desire to be away from God, to be free from God. From verse 5 to verse 9, he shows the consequence. It's God's anger. God's get angry. But something interesting happens here. From verse 10, he takes a huge turn by saying, "Now then, you rulers of the nations, act wisely." What does he mean by that? Well, he explains it by pointing, by giving them three advice. Advice number one, he says, serve the Lord instead of serving sin. When you don't serve the Lord, don't think you're serving yourself. No, you're serving sin. Number two, he says, rejoice in him instead of rejoicing in sin. Get your happiness from God instead of getting it from sin, because the consequence is not that good. Third, submit to God's son instead of submitting to sin. So in simple terms, what is David saying here? Well, he's saying that to turn away from God is to run to sin. But to turn away from sin is to turn towards God. And that's what he wants us to do. Stop turning to sin, to turn towards God. Act wisely. Don't be fools anymore. The book of Jonah, it's a great example of what David is trying to tell us here. Because the book of Jonah talks about repentance. He talks about a whole city turning away from sin towards God. It's not a book about a big fish. Although when we ask kids, oh, it's all about a big fish. It's not about a big fish. It's all about a big God. Why a big God? If you know this story, God tells a prophet to go to Nineveh, a horrible city full of sinners, a very violent nation, a very similar nation to the one that David is describing here, a nation that wanted freedom from God. And God gets angry and tells the prophet, go and tell them that I'm going to destroy them all. Jonah goes, preaches judgment. He preaches judgment for 40 days. And guess what? They all turn to God. They all repent from their sins. And God forgives them. That shows how big our God is. How merciful our God is. How full of grace and love our God is. The whole book of John is about that. And that's what David is trying to say here. Act wisely, because our God, he loves us. He's always ready to forgive us. We just need to repent. We just need to turn to him again. And that's Christianity, isn't it? We are saved by grace. Do you understand that? There is no other religion that teaches that. We are saved by grace, by someone who loves us and is always ready to forgive us. This is the solution. But you said that Jesus was the solution. Yes. Yes. Here's what it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And in verse 17 he says, he did not come to judge but to save. Let me ask you this question again. Do you understand that you serve a God who loves you? If you understand, you need to duplicate the same message, not only next Sunday here, but throughout your week. You need to tell people in a good way, in a proper way, you're not free at all. You are a slave. You have a problem. There is a horrible consequence for it. But here's the solution. Jesus is the solution. So, lesson for us. It is wise to use our freedom to come before God in repentance. Let me conclude. David finishes this passage in verse 12, part B, by saying, "What joy for all who take refuge in him." In this passage, David is pointing us to Christ. This is a kind of messianic prophecy here. He's pointing us to Christ, God's anointed one, the Christ. And he's saying, what joy for all who take refuge in Christ, our eternal freedom. So in this passage, we need to, by looking at this passage, we need to understand that we need to act wisely by using our freedom to take refuge in Christ. In nothing else. There is nothing else that's going to give you freedom. We can only be free in Christ. He leads us to eternal joy. Not momentary, not temporary, not earthly. I'm talking about eternal, heavenly, instead of eternal regrets. And I'm going to finish by repeating what freedom is. True freedom is to do whatever you want without regretting the consequence of your choices. Let me pray.